Welcome to the Best of the Run Home with Joel and Fletch. And don't forget, you can catch us live any old Monday to Friday, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. on the SEN app or wherever you catch SEN. But we start the week with A grades, and then we cross up north of the border to catch up with who, Brian?
Yeah, up to the sports days, boys. And I was a little bit disappointed this week because no badge. I was saying, Badge, are you there? No, nil by Badge.
The bin chicken was lurking, but not on the microphone. On air, have a listen to this.
The Monday A grades with Joel and Fletch.
Righto, boys, who would like to mark centre and take the first ball?
Mine is on Friday. I played golf at East Lakes, and there was four gentlemen up in front, and they were slow. But then I didn't play very well. I hadn't played for a long time, but I hit a good shot. I went off the tee, nailed it down the middle. Mm. But it was over the hill.
Couldn't see him.
Now, I let them go, but he's taken my ball and left his ball.
Did you just play his?
Yeah, and then I fronted him. I said, mate, what ball are you playing? He goes, oh, I don't know. I've played. I knew he'd taken it because he couldn't find his.
Mm, that's rank.
A grade.
That is A grade. He's done it knowingly, hasn't he?
Of course
Everyone knows their ball.
And I didn't want to get angry with him, but, you know, because I'm trying to channel
your inner.
Channel my, yeah. Sometimes I get a little bit angry on the course.
Seems
angry, my friend.
Have you got a bad temper on the course?
Just at myself.
Oh, right.
When I hit a bad shot. Sorry, Brooksy.
No, I totally agree with what you're saying there, Fletch.
What's your A grade?
I have an A grade. A couple of my friends are Penrith fans.
Yeah.
And a few of them were talking at Brookie. And they were saying how hard done by they were, the Eels game. And I was like, kick out, drop the ball. You've won 21 home straight games.
Yeah.
How about you just take an L and settle down?
Yeah.
Like, come on, you guys have had continued success.
Yeah.
I'm talking across two seasons here. And they have one little loss. Well, it was actually a big loss. How good were the Eels? And they can't take it.
Yeah.
I thought that was, you know, learn.
Greed is good.
Exactly.
Mm.
But they were rank. Remember, they were perennial losers there. For a long time in the early years. So they should be humble enough.
But it's always the way, right? When your team's killing it
and
they have a loss, those fans, they were booing it full time as well.
They weren't. Like, yeah, that was a referee.
Yeah, but still. They should have been clapping.
Do you think they're angry at the establishment, i.e. the owners of Hooters, who got rid of their outlet?
Yeah.
Because that would get me angry.
Yeah.
If you had a Hooters across the road,
been angry about the
if you could loss. Walk out of your house and walk down to a Hooters, get a chicken burger, get some spicy wings,
yeah. And one day it's gone.
And then have a step in,
yeah,
and then you're gone.
It's like you keep going to the same place, take it away, and it throws everyone off.
I just want
to
see those orange shorts.
Psychological experiment.
Give me a pair of those orange shorts.
What size?
That's all I want. 14s.
So, boys, is this an A grade or what, right? So. I'm chatting to one of the dads at the local footy, right? And this guy comes up and we're clearly having a conversation. First thing, just barges into the conversation and just starts talking immediately to the other bloke who I'm with, right? And he says, mate, he goes, where do we lodge the disputes? Where do we lodge the disputes, the score disputes?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, okay, so they've won the game and it's been imported on. Because you know how they've got the app? So everyone can check.
I didn't know that.
There's a My NRL app so everyone can check the scores of all the different games, right? So I'm naturally thinking if he's looking for a score dispute, his team, who are probably under eights anyway, have won, but the app's showing they're lost, right? And he says, oh, well, what was the score? He said, the app is showing we won 32-6. We actually won 36-6.
Oh, he's looking for points.
For and against.
32-6. And he wants to go to all the trouble of dispute for his four little 400 points. Thoughts?
Perfectionist though, Joel, he might be a numbers man.
Yeah.
He might be an accountant. And four.
So not an A grade.
Off.
No, definite A grade.
A grade?
Yeah.
Mate,
stickler A grade.
I don't know. It's just some people are made up of different mentality.
If it's NRL, definitely.
Yeah, he's an A grade. How old were they? Sixes.
Oh, the youngsters, yeah.
Is it true that in under sixes or the little kids, there's no tackling? Is that the new rule?
Until
under nines?
No, that's not true, I don't think.
I'm hearing that. I'm hearing it's just touch for the little ones. Maybe someone can tell me, because I've got girls. We play netball.
Yeah.
We don't go up
No, no, it's definitely. No, my nephew's playing under sixes and they're tackling, yeah.
Might be just the Eastern Suburbs thing.
Yeah.
Soft.
Not quite sure. Now, these blokes have stooped to all new levels. So they've been pitching our segments, they've been pitching our little taglines. And now look at this picture of the bin chicken. They're copying our poses.
For our listeners, he's doing he's in a bodybuilding competition and he's doing the crucifix.
Yeah. Well, he's on the line. Scotty Sattler and the bin chicken, Gary Belcher. How are you, mate?
Good, Sugar, and Flesh. No, the bin chicken's not. He's here, but we can't find him in the building. He's somewhere in the building.
Oh.
But I think he thinks he might be a little bit better than you guys.
Well, he had the audacity the other day.
Yeah.
So we come down here the other day.
And the hide.
Yeah, and the gall.
And the temerity.
And the temerity. And what happened is, straight away, Sats comes in, as Woogie would have done if he was here, right, in his bright navy polo, and he would have come straight in and went, "G'day, boys." The bin chicken came in with camouflage gear on.
It's
did his best to avoid
it. Height of indecency.
Yes.
Yep.
Was he a bit hung after the reunion?
I don't know. He seems to be. We called the game yesterday, the Cronulla New Zealand game. He seemed to be on point with that. So I don't think he had too much. Actually, he told some really good stories about Brett Mullins, some funny stories about Brett Mullins and catching up with all the older players. But it would have been. I tell you what, would have loved to have sink a recorder amongst some of those stories. Would have been pretty good.
Fair side, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh,
fair what? Side. Hang on.
Yep. Here we go. Don't forget you're coming up this weekend.
I am. Cannot wait.
So don't go too hard.
Cannot wait. No, I'm just reporting what was in the Courier Mail. Now, this is word for word.
Mm-hmm.
Forest Sunshine trading as Hanachi Indooroopilly hit with 12K fine. A Japanese eatery inside one of us. Brisbane's biggest shopping centres has been fined $12,000 after a council inspector found dead and live cockroaches.
The council inspector was dead.
Yeah, so the Brisbane Magistrate Court heard the inspector found food being processed in an area where live cockroaches were harbouring and seemed to be breeding. Brisbane City Council Prosecutor Mark Thomas said several live cockroaches were found behind the microwave and in an unused bain-marie in the kitchen area. It was easily detectable that the cockroaches were present, like they weren't even hiding. When the inspector approached the bain-marie, he noted quite readily that several cockroaches were scattering around in that area. Some were even having sex in the gravy.
That's a lie. We've all thought about it.
Hang on. That's what they were saying.
Throw some jelly in.
The eatery has been popular with the public, but also with celebrities. Get this.
What's the name of the suburb again?
Indooroopilly. Indooroopilly.
Yes.
The eatery has been popular with the public, but also with celebrities, including former Queensland Origin Gary Belcher, would frequent the eatery regularly, dipping his rotty bread directly into the bain-marie, with some locals describing it as the most disgusting thing they've ever seen at the Indooroopilly eatery. So, where is that little bin chicken?
That's why he's not here. He's got wind of this, hasn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he has got wind.
I think he has. Yeah.
I'm not making this up.
How do cockroaches do it? That's what I want to know.
That's what I don't know. That they must.
Well, in the gravy.
That's what it's saying. They were in the gravy.
You'd love to have sex in gravy.
Oh, mate, that's a fantasy of mine.
That's called what we spoke about last week.
Yes.
Remember Queensland? What do we call it? Sloshing.
Slosher.
That's not sloshing.
That is sloshing, having sex in a sponge cake or in a bain-marie with gravy. You Queenslanders.
Hey, can I throw the bin chicken up as my A grade?
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely.
So, while he's not here, actually. So 40-year anniversary, he's telling me a story about it. He said, "Can you remember the player that played for the Raiders, Rick Emanuel?" I said, "Yeah, I can remember the name." He said, "Oh, he was saying to me how much he loved it when I used to come down to training early and teach all the outside backs when he was playing, all the younger players how to do run different lines and kick returns, lots of stuff." He said, "I really love that." And he said, "Remember that time you got all us young players to come around your place and do your gardening?"
What?
He said, "Oh, I couldn't remember." He goes, "Yeah. He goes, "Oh, I remember you come, you're a legend like you asking us to come around and do your gardening."
Yes. Yeah, that's a good guy.
That sounds like a badge thing, doesn't it? Yeah. What do we pick on poor Badge? I don't know.
He's not here to defend himself, mate. So,
Woogie, have you got an A grade?
Yeah, me, mate. Mother's Day yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, how'd your mother's go? Mother's Day go?
Well, Mum's no longer with us, but my wife.
Can we take that back? Can we cut that out? Lucky we're not live.
How many times have you asked that anyway? Yeah. But I didn't get anything for the missus from the kids.
Yeah, but it's not. She's not your mum.
That's my point exactly. Yeah. But it's I'm not being spoken to.
But your
boys.
Kids are old enough to get their own presents.
They're 14.
Yeah,
they can do that.
Mm.
Well, but do you boys buy gifts for your wife from the kids?
I don't buy them, but I'll give them some Arthur Ashe and say, "Righto, kids, get up to BP up on Bondi Road."
Get some flowers.
That's what I tell them to do.
So it's me. I forgot. I forgot to do the Mother's Day thing.
Welcome back to the Best of the Run Home with Joel and Fletch. And I tell you what, we got ourselves ringside, didn't we? A massive fight night on Wednesday night. So we caught up with all the trump cards. Which are who, Brian?
Garside and Gallen. And funnily enough, I put them all into my multi.
Harry Garside, how are you, mate?
Good, good. Thanks for having me on.
Can I ask you this? What if it was one of those Paul brothers? Are they fed income? Like, if they came in and said to you, I know money talks, I don't know whether you'd be... Would you be keen to fight one of those gibberers?
Oh, mate, I'm the type of person, I'll jump at anything, to be honest. So I love just fighting, simple as that. I've been fighting since I was 9 years old, and I love the sport of boxing. And a lot of people, I must admit, don't give Jake and Logan Paul, and even people like Paul Gallen credit. But I think boxing in Australia is in a good spot because of someone like Paul Gallen. Someone like the AFL Barry Hall, Sonny Bill Williams. These people are bringing new fans to the sport, and that's what Jake and Logan Paul are doing as well. So I'm in two minds about it. It's frustrating when real boxers aren't getting paid the right money and those guys are making millions.
Mm.
But then again, they're also bringing new fans to the sport, which is a good thing.
Now, I was talking to you about crunch time, and I was trying to explain to our man, Bearshead Brian Fletcher, who, actually, before we get onto that, I believe you're now neighbours. Are you out at Bondi, Harry?
Well, I'm in Bondi, mate. A bit different from where I grew up. I'm in Bondi.
Oh, okay.
So blokes like Magnuson, Garside, Knockabouts, and they're all finding themselves in Toffee Land with you, Brian.
Well, what do you think, mate? What's your first? What did you think of Bondi when you first started moving? When you first moved there?
Oh, it's a beautiful spot, mate. Like picturesque. You can't. But like, to be honest, mate, it's just a bit too full on for me. It's a bit too full on for me. I probably won't be here forever, but it's a nice spot so far, and I am enjoying it, but as I said, I wouldn't probably raise a family here. I wouldn't be here forever. So enjoying it while I'm here, but I think it'll be a temporary stay.
What's some of the issues? I know parking's always an issue in Bondi. Are you upset there's so many people with yoga mats? There's so many people with tights on. A lot of people wearing tights, especially in Hall Street.
I know, mate. And there's a lot of people, but there's a lot of for males. I know I walked down that promenade. Everyone's got their shirt off on a good day, mate. They make me feel very small.
Yeah, I think you'd fit right in with your rig. I've seen your rig.
So,
thanks, mate.
Harry, can you share with our listeners who didn't catch the crunch time, you love to challenge yourself in different ways to make yourself feel very uncomfortable. Can you share with Bearshead, Brooksy Gibbo, and all our listeners maybe an example of one of your challenges?
Absolutely, mate. I've been doing it for over 3 years, and I've done so many amazing challenges. So once a month, I do a challenge. I've had some hard conversations, especially with my dad. He's very old-fashioned. Do 13 hours straight on a stationary bike, or make up for a day, an improv class, and many others. And each challenge, I'm out of my comfort zone. Some are harder than others. But each challenge, I learn something new about myself. And I think as humans, we often like places where we're comfortable, but I think you only get growth when you're put in uncomfortable situations. So if I can encourage anyone to do a challenge, I think unless you're a professional dancer, dance classes are always a good place to start. They always make people very, very uncomfortable. So you know, do a dance class, try it out, see how you feel after when you've accomplished that and actually did the class, because you will see the growth in that moment.
Tell you what, Harry, I've got no doubt your fight career is going to be huge. And George Kambosos, he's the one in the horizon down the track. But I think what you're doing off or outside the ring will be just as big. Mate, just take us back really quickly. I know you've got a busy day in front of you, but the Reach Foundation, A, what you're doing with them now and the part they've played in your life.
Yeah, the Reach Foundation is huge. So it's a youth organisation that operate from about 12 to 17, 18-year-olds. And they entered my life when I was 16. And prior to that, I had no success in boxing. I had lost more fights than I had won. And through the journey of being involved as a participant and then a crew member, going out to schools and doing workshops and going on camps and stuff like that with other young people, I was able to go internal and really sort of learn a lot more about myself, become a lot more conscious and aware, and learn to love myself for the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I don't think it's a coincidence that after being involved with Reach for 1 year, I won my first national title, and then the rest is really history. I won the Commonwealth Games, the Olympics, obviously, and I credit a lot of that to the Reach Foundation, and they're doing amazing work, and just really grateful that they entered my life at a bit of a crossroads when I was 16.
Paul Gallen's on the line. G'day, Paul.
Hey, boys. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Georgie Rose calls you the heavyweight pay-per-view king of Australia, and I think it's fair to say because the numbers, well, they can't really dispute what you're bringing to the table. And we had Harry Garside on Monday, and he was saying the fact that, you know, he is in opposition to what people think about people like yourself who come into the code and what you do for the game. So he was quite supportive of what you've done for the game. And by the way, Paul, no one's stopping boxers from having a go at rugby league, are they?
No, that's right. That's for sure. I suppose the one thing about rugby league, there's levels of it as far as grading those systems you gave. If you can't make first grade or under 20s or whatever it may be, you go back and play like a leg rat. So no one's stopping them from being involved in rugby league. No, not at all. And you know, I think that, look, there are certain boxers. Harry Garside, Nikita Zoo, without a doubt. Sam Goodman has jumped on the back. But look, at the end of the day, Tim Zoo jumped on the back of me as well. Very early on, 5, 6, 7 years ago, Tim Zoo was on my undercards, and he's just excelled. Not because of me, but because of his ability. But without doubt, I provided a platform for him to get the exposure he may not have got so quickly. And because of his ability and because of how good he's been able to promote himself really well and become the boxer he is today. So, man, I'm really happy I can do that for these boxers. I know how hard they train. And that's the other thing. People think I just turn up on the night and fight. Man, it's not that easy, let me tell you. So I'm proud of being able to promote the sport and help these guys out. And at the end of the day, mate, I'm coming right at the back end of my career now. So this may be my last fight. It may not be.
I was going to ask you that, Gal. So it is your last fight, or if something comes along, you'd look at it?
Is it, mate? Something comes along, I look at it, but I don't want to say it's my last fight because I haven't gone into that mentally thinking it's going to be my last fight. But man, I'm right at the back end of my career. I've been involved in professional sport now for more than 20 years, and it comes a time I've got a wonderful, beautiful family at home, and it comes a time where you got to put them first. And now they support me, through thick and thin, and they've always been there for me, allowing me to do this. I mean, it's my son's birthday yesterday. I didn't get to spend a day with him because I'm up here getting ready for a fight. So they sort of got to put them first, and then you got to think about the rest of your life as well. I've come through playing, I think, the hardest sport in the world, rugby league, and then I've gone into boxing, so two of the toughest sports in the world. And your body and your mind, at times, you just got to give it a rest, and I think that time's coming up pretty soon.
Mate, big words from Todd Carney this week. He was saying that, you know, players who he loved playing with, he'd look around, and if he knew you were there, he just felt safe and comfortable. Talking about the Sharks, a couple of questions in this one. Can they go all the way, the current Sharks? And what did you make of their win the other day? Down to 11, down to 12 at various stages of the game.
It was one of the best, most gutsiest performances I've ever seen at Cronulla. It was an unbelievable effort, particularly on the week before. They got beaten by the Broncos and were beaten pretty handsomely, to be honest. And there was a few players there who probably let themselves down and didn't play well, and they wanted to turn that around. But then to be down to 12 men after just 17 or 18 minutes. Look, I sent a text message to a bloke straight away. He sort of sent a message to me, and I said, well, that's it, mate. You can't. 12-1-13 these days is too hard. It's just too hard to do. And you see 90% of games are going to go the way of the other team. They're going to run right through because it's just so hard to compete one man down. Then you go down to 11 men for 10 minutes in the second half, and they still held on. The scramble they show for each other, the desperation for each other. It just goes to show they're a good team. Fitzy's got them doing amazing things, and Fitzy's got them playing for each other. And that's the most important thing. I think, first of all, you've got to want to play for your coach, and you've got to want to play for each other. And if you've got that ability, you're a good team. And I think the real Sharks really showed that the other night, and hopefully this is a cornerstone they can look back on for the rest of the season and build their season off it.
Let me ask you about Joel and his touch. His touch ideas.
Cause he coaches rugby league and I take the reins for the touch.
So he
clearly, based on how I tackle, I went for that avenue.
He confuses me with these ideas. Yeah. Like, I've got to be honest, some of them are very good. Some of them, I don't know where he's going. I just agree with him. Does he ever come to you with some weird ideas about playing touch, about doing a halo move or a box move?
No boxes, mate.
No boxes.
Nah.
Does he confuse
absolutely
you?
Well, yeah. Well, when he explained the box to me, my head fell off. And then he had to try and explain to a group of 11 and 10-year-olds and a couple of 12, and their heads absolutely fell off. But let me tell you, after about a month of practice, they got it, and it was probably the reason they won the State Cup. So let me tell you one thing about Joel and touch footy. I will never question him. I will always listen, and I'll always try my best to make it work. Now, I was the assistant coach of that side. And there was one day Joel couldn't turn up to a gala day we had before the state knockout. And the boys started doing this halo move, doing this, and it just wasn't working. Like, because what the idea of the halo move is the opposite link is the one who ends up screwing the try. But the boys only did halo between two players, the bloke who played the ball and then dummy half. So it just wasn't working. So I said, boys, can the halo, for God's sake, it's not working. I could see what had to happen. Yeah. And then, of course, Paxi Kane got angry at me. He goes, Dad said it's going to work. I said, mate, I know it will work, but we don't know it. We don't know it. So, yeah, to try and explain to his son, yeah, who obviously, your dad's your hero, to try and say it's so good, we're not doing it today, was very, very tough to get it by Paxi that day. But, we put it in the back pocket till the state knockout, and they won it, obviously.
Welcome back to the Best of the Run Home with Joel and Fletch. And there was a common denominator with a couple of guests late in the week. They don't mind a couple of vinos, a couple of tipples. I'm talking about Hot Mike Drew Mitchell. And guess what? Gibbo, didn't he come through with the goods?
So we've been asking all our staff here, or all our team members, as Bunnings like to call it, and we're looking for mystery guests. And Gibbo just took the initiative and boom, all of a sudden we're chatting to one of TV's greatest celebrity chefs.
Ian Hewitson Huey, take it away. Drew Mitchell, how are you, mate?
G'day, fellas. How you doing?
Mate, we're going all right. You sound a bit more corporate-y today as opposed to last Monday. Please take us back. We enjoyed the old Drew. How was last week?
Yeah, mate, tell you what. That was only early in the afternoon. That kicked on until deep into the early hours of the morning on Cavill Avenue in Surfers Paradise, ended up.
So,
yeah, it was trouble.
You never went there, did you, BZ? You ever?
Where?
France.
Yeah, we played Perpignan. We played
Toulouse. No,
Catalans. Yeah, it's a cracking joint.
Oh, it's a cracking place.
That's the difference between you were drinking champagne at a Victoria's Secret. I was drinking VB at home. Remember the Homegirls in the back of the People magazine? I used to love that. And then they get in Homeboys. Remember they had the Homeboys. So it was always Homegirls, and they send in photos, and then it morphed into Homeboys. Oh, they were rank.
Oh no,
sorry. Anyway, let's talk. Let's talk.
Our champagne was out of a bottle, not out of one of those goon bags that you boys drink.
That's right. Yeah. I know. But yeah, listen, you're a leaguey as well. Don't say you're not. You're a leaguey.
No, I am. I grew up on league, and then
correct.
And then I went to a private school and became a better person.
You did. You did. You had a better dental plan. Yeah, well, Drew, I think they should be playing this over the loudspeaker, because this team song, the victory song of the Waratahs, just gets the juices flowing. Have a listen to this, Drew.
Okay.
We're the mighty Waratahs, rough and tumble rugby stars. Famous when we run the ball, we can scrum and rack and maul. Waratahs, playing the game as it should be played.
Now, Drew, is that legit? Is that legit the team's victory song for the Tars?
Look, it's legit without the cutaways to a cappella solo that you included. But what was the old Roosters song? Wasn't it something like running down the sideline?
Yes, I'll stop there. And then the next verse was horrendous. Down in the valley, there's a do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do- And who are they? You. It was actually Dean Pay. So Dean Pay brought that. I think it was from, yeah. Where's Dino? Dubbo. Dino from Dubbo.
Yeah.
So it's made the rounds. Then yeah. When he brought it to Parramatta, then it was a New South Wales song. And then when he came to assistant coach, Chooks. We used it. It's a beauty.
Well, the next, it's Ryan Cross taught me that one when he was a former teammate of mine. So yeah. I've never forgotten it since.
Can Crossy talk? I've never heard him talk.
No, Rock, he can. You know why.
Running down the sideline with it.
Mate, he's the blue shirt at the moment for the Cronulla women's team.
Oh, yes.
For Tony Herman.
Yeah.
And the NRL came down hard on him because he refused to leave the field.
Oh, yeah.
He's the Alfie Langer.
Won't get off.
He won't get off.
No.
He won't get off.
He loves it.
Yeah, he loves it.
He loves getting involved. Yes. Well, Crossy. Has he got a job yet, Drew? Do we know, Crossy?
I think he's in, like, insurance or
something. No, he was. He left that. Then he got into real estate, left that. He's a bit of a lost soul,
Crossy. He was in the stock markets.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Mate, he did pretty well on Fasica, the thoroughbred.
So oh, that's right.
On a bit of that cash.
And I think he did really well over at Western Force with that tablet you put into your into your car that makes you feel go long.
Yeah, firepower.
Firepower. Oh, he should have been in our
same as you at the Rabbitohs, wasn't it?
He should have been in our hoaxes. We had a hoax team.
Yes.
Tim Johnston, that's him.
Timmy Jay.
Captain coach.
What's he doing, Timmy J?
Oh, I think he's had everything sort of seized, passports and ability to be a director of a company, I think.
Oh, heavy.
Yeah. A person we've grown up with who's been a very big part of our life, I'm pleased to say, the great Ian Hewitson. Huey's on the line. G'day, Huey.
G'day, guys.
Hello, Huey. Oh, so we didn't know until about 10 seconds ago. Now, Huey, the Healthy, Wealthy and Wise, I grew up with that TV show. What an era of TV that was. Yeah.
It was interesting, actually, because I was just telling somebody the other day that when we actually went to pitch it to Channel 10, or Network 10, I think they call it these days, the executive there says, oh, no, cooking will never work on primetime television. I think he's the cleaner now.
Yes, it would be. Well, just on that, mate, what do you think of the current day celebrity chefs and all the TV shows, the Master Chefs?
I think as long as you regard them as game shows and don't regard them as cooking shows, I think they're fine. But I think sometimes it's become a bit too much, hasn't it? You know, they go on too bloody long.
So, Huey, what were you doing before you made it to our TV screens? Like, you don't just walk into a TV studio saying, yep, I'm here, I'm Huey, I'm ready to go. So how did that all build up for you?
Well, I had been a serious restaurant chef and I owned a lot of restaurants in those days. And one night Gavin Disney came in to one of my restaurants. It was called Memories of the Mediterranean. And I had a couple of drinks with him because I knew him vaguely. And he was from Hey Hey at Saturday. And I knew him vaguely. At about 3 o'clock in the morning, he said to me, how'd you like to be on television? And I said, I won't say what I said, but it was pretty rude. Anyway, I said, ring me when you're sober with a few expletives included. And I was pretty surprised when he rang the next day and says, I'm putting together a show called Healthy, Wealthy and Wise, and I'd love you to be on it. And so it was a fluke. Let's be very fair about it.
Now, Huey, Nathan, who reached out to you and got you on the show, he is single, but he's looking for love. Now, he's also quite handy in the kitchen.
No, I'm not into that kind of thing.
No. I'm not asking you that yet. I'm not asking that yet. What should he be cooking for a date?
Good question.
What is something that will get him brownie points, but also make the lady feel a bit relaxed and impressed?
Yes.
I remember when I was a kid, the first thing that my brother ever taught me, and I'm not suggesting that he do this, but the first thing my brother ever suggested that I do when I was a hot date, I'm talking about, 16, 17, 18, something like that, was Hungarian goulash. And I learned to make Hungarian goulash, and I'm not saying it was authentic, but I impressed every girl. So all he needs is one dish, doesn't he?
Yes.
He just needs one dish that he can do well. And it can be anything. It really can be like a chicken Provençal or anything like that. Or, as my mate used to do, he used to go to one of those wonderful kitchens, you see in Chinatown with all the ducks and things, and he used to buy duck and barbecue pork and things. He used to slice it, put it on the thing, heat it up a little bit, and he said it impressed the hell out of them because I always told them I'd cooked it myself.
Oh, that's Gibbo does that.
He does do that. What about the aphrodisiac? Is that the oysters? Is it true that it makes the girls a little bit hot under the collar?
I have no idea. I love oysters, but I think what did my auntie used to say? Runny custard was an aphrodisiac.
Hang on.
You have oysters and runny custard. That's just what you need, isn't it?
Runny custard. I like the sounds of that. Bit
it's
of goulash.
A bit scary. Anyway, tell your mate that the best thing, cooking for one or two, is my new YouTube site. I have to get a plug in.
Oh, get that plug away, Huey. Plug away.
Huey's Fabulous Fast Food for One or Two, and it's on YouTube, and you'll get lots of hints of pretty simple stuff to whip up for the next time he's feeling amorous.
Oh, yes.
But forget the oysters. I don't think that works.
Now, Hughie, have you got
I think that's an old wives' tale.
Welcome back to the Best of the Run Home with Joel and Fletch and Sock, of course. Later in the week, we have Sock. We caught up with Matty Johns. Always a good chat, isn't he, Socky?
Genius on and off the field. We also caught up with Chase Buford after the 17-year drought with the Kings.
And what about Cam McGuinness? He just screams being tough, doesn't he?
He's the number 14 in your eyes, mate, so 100%.
Have a listen. G'day, Matty.
Hey, Joel. Sock, how are you, lads?
Where are you reporting from today, Matty?
I'm reporting from my... downstairs lounge room, gentlemen.
Oh, nice. You've
got two of them, have you?
Yeah. I've got an upstairs and a downstairs and a dungeon down the bottom. and I'm patting my dog, Charlie. So, mate, it's listen to SEN.
Matty, what about last night? Gal's effort. I mean, you love your boxing. I know it's one of your favourite sports. What were your takeouts?
Man, he... come up against a very, very classy, clever fighter. There's no doubt. He was very, very good, but, you know, it's typical Gal. Just brave, hung in there. Look, you know, and similar like Justice Hooney, he was outclassed, but he just, you know, he finds a way to almost win just through his grit and his toughness, and his fitness is incredible. Remember, you know, a number of years ago when he was considering switching to boxing, when he was probably 12 months to 2 years away from retiring, I was talking to Hopper, John Hopperwadi, who said to me, he said, I did a sparring session with Gal, and he said, mate, it was awful. I just couldn't keep him off me. He said, he's endurance. He's a machine, just keeps going and going and going. And that's what it is. I mean, I'd reckon that would be his last fight. You'd think so. Boxing is not one of those sports you want to fight too long after you're 40 years of age.
Hey, Matty, we were talking earlier, Sock and I, about Gal and how he has totally transformed perception on him. So when he was playing, the way he played, if you didn't go for the Sharks, you didn't like him. If you were a Queensland supporter, you absolutely didn't like him. But now Michelle Bishop saying this morning on Vossie and Brandy, you know, there's pubs full of Queenslanders cheering on Gal last night in this fight. Is there an athlete who's changed your opinion? I'll tell you one for me. James Magnusson, the missile. When he was at his height, you know, I thought, oh, I don't know about this fella. He's one of the nicest blokes you'll ever meet. Is there an athlete who you've come across who initially you thought, oh, I don't know about this bloke or this team, but then all of a sudden they've won you over?
Well, the guy that when I first met Anthony Mundine years and years ago, we went down to NAIDOC Week. I went to NAIDOC Week with a guy from the Newcastle Knights, Keith Onslow. We had a presence there. I went and had about 3 or 4 days in Wellington, got to know Chock there, got on really good with him. We were both, you know, young, probably only just started playing a bit of first grade. Got on really good with him. And then sort of as we moved into the middle part of our careers and, you know, we both wanted the same thing. You want to win a competition, but you wanted State of Origin Australian jerseys. And, mate, he used to get into me in the papers, like, you know, and, you know, slag me and Joey off and stuff like that. And it really irritated me. And during the games, it was funny because during the games, he wasn't a real big talker, Chock, but, you know, he really talked up the games and stuff like that. And so, you know, and he was dirty on me once because I got picked against him and he still talks about that. But anyway, it's by the by. But there was a sort of period there where you're going, oh, man, you know. But we've come through that and we're really good friends again. And me looking back and have the understanding that he was, you know, he was selling himself, he was selling the games, and it was good for the game. You know, as far as guys flip-flopping, changing perception, I was talking to a guy the other day about it. He was asking me about, you know, how do you think we should market something? Right, I was a guy involved with boxing. And I said, look, you don't reinvent the wheel. You just go to the WWE and see how they do it. They are like Vince McMahon and the people of the WWE are the masters of understanding the human condition. And the way they market it, the way that it's such a massive sport around the world, even we know it's fake, spoiler alert. But the way and what they do, their ability to have someone have what they call the heel, you know, the guy that everyone hates, but then basically overnight be swinging them into becoming the hero is just masterful. So if you're looking for how to market and how to, you know, how to sell yourself, how you sell your game, they're the best at it.
Yes, we now introduce him to the championship-winning coach of the Sydney Kings, Mr. Chase Buford. Hey, Chase, how you doing?
Good, Sol. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's been a whirlwind handful of months, a slow start. You were 3-6 to start the season. Can you believe you're the champion, Chase?
Yeah, it's a little hard to believe how far we've come and, you know, some of the adversity we've dealt with as a group. But, you know, you could see it start coming towards the back half of the season that this was a really special team. And it seems only fitting that these guys are the ones to hoist the trophy at the end of the day because they were just a joy to coach and a fun group to be around the whole time.
Is there a defining moment in your mind, whether it was something in the dressing sheds, at training, a victory, something someone said, when the penny dropped and went, you know what, we are going to win this bloody thing?
Yeah, I think two games come to mind. Probably the first one was going into Perth and winning on the road in the fashion that we did. You know, we're up early and just beat them the whole time. And we knew we had a pretty good team there. But I think the game in Illawarra towards the end of the season, winning in overtime on the road, and Jalen even going down with cramps towards the end, you know, getting it done without him, that was a moment for our team where I think we knew we had a pretty good group and we could go toe-to-toe with anyone, anywhere. And yeah, no, that was a fun win. I think a character win for our team. And we knew probably then that we had a good chance as any.
Take us through your time since about 10 p.m. last night.
No, it was great. You know, we had some celebration in the locker room, sprayed some champagne, which was a bunch of fun. And we actually went back up to the kind of foyer lobby of the arena, and there's a few thousand fans all chanting MVP for Jalen Adams and cheering on every word Durrell and X have to say. And see them stay around for, you know, over an hour after the game just to cheer those guys and just to let them know how much they appreciated their effort was really, really neat to see. And then, you know, had a bunch of drinks at the arena, a bunch of friends and family, got to meet people for the first time, meet moms and dads, things like that. So that was great. A few of us went to the casino, try our luck there, and I think the guys all stuck together for a long time after that. So it was a great time. We just had some drinks at Coogee a second ago, the whole team hanging out, and it's been a cool experience to see them get to enjoy this.
Are we seeing the start of a Kings dynasty? You've got some of the best local talent. We're getting we're hearing that we're a breeding ground of maybe sending blokes abroad into the NBA, but will this be the start? It's been 17 years since we've had the keys to the city. Do you see the start of this being a little dynasty for the Kings?
Well, you certainly hope so. I mean, I think you named it. We got some great Aussie talent, but we got to get them re-signed and, you know, committed to going forward. And, you know, the NBA is probably coming calling for a couple guys potentially on our team, but we think we have some good core pieces in place, and we got a great coaching staff, and I think that's been a huge key to our success this year. Kevin Lish, Daniel Kicker, two guys with great experience, and Fleur McIntyre. She's just been the glue that keeps us all together. So we're excited about where we are, and we look forward to hopefully keeping a good part of this group together and seeing what they can accomplish.
Cam's on the line. G'day, Cam.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Tell you a bloke who I think is going to have a major, major say in your fate come the end of the year. I'm talking about Wade Graham, Cam, and he's had a tricky time with injury, head knocks, etc. And I vividly remember now, Craig Fitzgibbon would have been there at the time with the Roosters. I vividly remember when people were peppering Trent Robinson about, you know, is Jake Friend, is he finished, is he done, whatever else. Well, Jake Friend went within a bee's you-know-what of winning the Clive Churchill. Trent Robinson knew what he had. And I get the sense that Craig Fitzgibbon and all your teammates know how important Wade Graham is going to be to your season at the end. Do you get that same sense, Kim?
Yeah, definitely. I feel very lucky because when the comp went up to Queensland last year, I was able to come over to Sharks early and I did all my rehab with Wade. So I've seen how hard he's worked and getting himself in the best shape he's probably been in since he was a kid. And, you know, his ankle injury at the start was a setback, but he's just such a positive person around the group and such a leader. Obviously, so smart and intelligent footy-wise, but you know, on the weekend when he come on, he was sort of playing a middle edge hybrid role, and the way he was just getting us around the park from, you know, being in the middle, he's just so smart and he just knows what to do in each play. And yeah, like you said, he's going to be invaluable for us. And yeah, I feel real happy for him that he's back, and can't wait to see how he goes, because like I said, the work he's put in, I think he'd probably say himself, it's the hardest he's sort of trained, and yeah, he's in good nick.
Nico Hines, right? So he's the pin-up boy of NRL at the moment. He's got the beautiful long lips. He's playing amazing footy. Can you give me a bit of goss, maybe, to tell me something we don't know about him? Maybe talk him down. Does he buy coffees? Does he wear the same undies every week? Does he tub after games? Yeah. There's got to be some sort of dirt on him that you might be able to give us.
Yeah, basically, Ken, we don't want you to win us over with him. We want you to win us under with him.
Yeah.
Well, I'll start by giving him a rap first before I give a bit of dirt. But no, he's impressed all of us, and you know, we're so lucky to have him. But in saying that, he has probably one of the weakest immune systems of a full footballer I've ever been in. Whether it's the man flu or whatever, any little, you know, something that's going around, Nico will find it. And
it's not COVID, hopefully, because he'd be all buggered.
No, not COVID, but anything else, he just seems to pick up. But, yeah.
Oh, that'll have to do.
That'll have to do.
Yeah.
So, Cam, everyone's got to have an opinion. For my opinion is that you're the 14 for New South Wales. What's your opinion, more importantly? Are you the number 14 for New South Wales?
Mate, my opinion is that I'll be putting my hand up and doing my absolute best, but at the same time, it's a tough side to get into, isn't it? Mm. There's a lot of quality players, particularly in the, you know, the sort of loose forward role, you know, across all the teams. There's a lot of quality players and a lot of guys that have done the job for New South Wales or have been close to it. So, mate, but you know what? As much as it's cliche, after the year I've just had off, I'm just so happy to be back playing, and I'm still a fair bit away from where I need to be. Like, I can feel that myself. So I'm going to keep trying to improve as the year goes on. But, yeah, I would definitely wouldn't knock it back, that's for sure.
You play so tough. When you grew up, and I can't have a family member as the answer here, who was your idol? Who did you sort of aspire to be? And was it rugby league?
Yeah, I was a big Roosters fan in those early days. And obviously, you know, Freddie was the man back then, so obviously liked him. But I was always sort of drawn to those players like Luke Rickardson and even a blast name, Chris Flannery. I loved him as well. Yeah, guys like that they ripped in and you could just see it. So maybe it's because the skill level of mine is probably the same, but yeah, it was sort of players like that worked hard and probably didn't get the adulation. But yeah, but guys like that, I think.
Yeah, the correct answer I was looking for was Brad Fittler, Danny Badiris, and Greg Alexander, those who sleep in New South Wales. That was the correct answer. Yeah. But anyway, thanks for listening to the Best of the Run Home with Joel and Fletch. Don't forget, we're back on Monday from 3 p.m. We'll have all the A-grades, all the regular chats, Sports Day, the team there. But don't forget, if you see something over the weekend, pop into our DMs at Joel Fletch SEN. If you like your TikTok, your Twitter, your Instagram, that's the same handle, at Joel Fletch SEN. If we don't hear from you then, we'll be there 3 p.m. on Monday, live and uninterrupted, Brian. Well, we may be interrupted. Mm. We typically are on SEN. We'll catch you then.